open your Bibles to the 7th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 7. We're a little light this afternoon. This morning might have been rough, but I didn't preach till 10:47 like Brother Randy Mitchell did Wednesday night. Never forget. If you weren't here, the clock was broken and it said 10:47. It's since been fixed. I don't know who put a battery in it, but appreciate that. Luke chapter 7 is where we're going to find ourselves this afternoon. Now, I really do hope that this morning I was able to communicate the point of Ephesians 5, which is the gospel. It is that Christ loves us, and he sacrificially gave himself for us. And for that, we ought to be thankful people. And so Luke chapter 7, what I want to do is look at a parable that I think we're familiar with. Really an encounter that Jesus had with a Pharisee and with a sinful woman. Because what we see in this encounter is a woman who was very thankful for who Christ was and what Christ had done for her. And as we enter into the season of Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, and all the things we do with the holidays, it would do us well to be thankful for who Christ is. And there are simple things that I think that we just get so used to them that they almost, if we're not careful, we don't even think about it. Many of us have been saved for so long that there are just things that become normal and we're used to. And listen, the gospel is good news. It's really good news. And it wasn't just good news the day you got saved. The gospel is good news every day you are saved. Because you didn't deserve it when Christ forgave you, and you don't deserve to continue to be forgiven this side of heaven. And so we ought to be thankful for the gospel. And so we see here a woman who was thankful for that. So Luke chapter 7, if you're able to, would you stand with me? Luke chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible says this: "Then one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word that we can gather around. Lord, I pray that you would help us each to be able to see who we are and have a better understanding of who you are. Lord, I pray that as we grow in your grace, you would help us to love you more, that we would love each other. Lord, that we would be people who love our community and desire for them to know you as well. Lord, I pray that all we say and do here this afternoon would be glorifying to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Very simple this afternoon. I want you to notice first what we just read, the people that we're introduced to in this text. Of course, we know that Jesus is really the main character of the Bible, but in this encounter, we have Jesus here, but we also are introduced to a nameless woman and a Pharisee who we find out his name is Simon. But notice once more in verse 36, it says, "One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." And just a side note, We often hear about Jesus being willing to sit down and eat with sinners, which he did here too, and we'll get to that in a moment. But this was a Pharisee, an outwardly righteous person who also desired Jesus to come and eat with him, and Jesus went to him too. And so what we see is that when somebody wanted to spend time with Jesus and inquire of Jesus, Jesus was willing to go to them. Whether they were a person of high reputation or low reputation, Jesus was willing to sit down at a dinner with this man, just as he was a sinner or a publican. And so Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house. He sits down to meat. In verse 37, "Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And there is no possible way for us to even understand what this was like. Number one, this type of woman would have never been invited to this man's house. This was a Pharisee, and we see in the text what he thought about this woman. He wasn't inviting her over for dinner. And so this woman was not someone who was respected by the community, certainly was looked down upon by the religious people. But when she found out that Jesus was there, despite any, it would have for sure been uncomfortable for her to go into that situation. But when she finds out Jesus is there, she's willing to go in just for the opportunity to worship Jesus. Not caring what other people might think, caring only about the opportunity that she had in front of her to meet Christ. And so when she goes in, verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. And so I'm sure that we can all relate to this. There have been times where, I don't know, did your mom ever tell you, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all? You ever hear that? One of the lamest Disney movies ever in Bambi, I remember. That's what the little skunk said. You guys remember that? Some people are like, who watches Bambi? I have three children. I watch Bambi. So. But the little skunk said, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I'll say this to the Pharisee's credit. He said it within himself. He didn't say it to her face. But within himself, we've all had those moments where we see something, we see someone, and we have a thought. And sometimes we might say it out loud. Sometimes we say it internally so nobody can hear. And what I want to point something out here because this is fascinating to me. The Pharisee, when he sees what's going on, this woman of bad report, this sinner, when she comes in and she's anointing Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair and having this interaction, the Pharisee says to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. And so in his own mind, he's thinking, you know, he had just invited Jesus over. He was certainly inquisitive. He wanted to know more about Jesus. And in his own mind, he's thinking, if he really were a true prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. But he doesn't voice that out loud. But internally, he's doubting whether or not Jesus is a prophet, because Jesus obviously wasn't able to discern what type of woman this is. And in verse 40, Jesus answering said unto him. So you have Simon the Pharisee who's doubting whether or not Jesus is a true prophet because Jesus is unable to discern what type of woman this is. And Jesus answers his thought. That's fascinating. Because he's sitting over there thinking, you know, sometimes you have those thoughts and you say them to yourself because you wouldn't dare say them out loud. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but he says it to himself, thinking nobody can hear me, and then Jesus answers him. Can you imagine some thoughts that you've had that you didn't want to voice out loud, and if someone in the room looked at you and said, hey, I know what you just thought, he'd say, I sure hope you don't. I'll excuse myself. So Jesus, being doubted as a prophet, looks at Simon the Pharisee and answers his thoughts, which just shows us once again who Jesus is. It's nobody else in the room read the man's thoughts, but Jesus, being God, knew what the man had thought. And verse 40 says, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And so we have this woman, we have the Pharisee, we have Jesus, and here he gives this parable. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Now, sometimes Jesus would teach a parable, and the Bible literally tells us that he taught this parable, and it wasn't really to explain what he was trying to say. He did it to cloud them. But this is a parable that Jesus is using to teach them, to try to get them to understand what had just taken place. Notice in this parable, this certain creditor, he had two people who both owed him money, and one owed him a great amount of money. And someone owed him considerably less. But notice in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay. It didn't matter. You know, in today's terms, one of them owed him $1 million, somebody owed him $20. Say it like that. Either way, if you don't have it, $20 might as well be $1 million. Either way, if you can't pay it, you can't pay it. And Jesus says about the one who owed a great amount and the one who owed a little amount, they had nothing to pay. And at that point, it doesn't really matter who owed more, because neither one of you can pay off your debt. And when neither one of them had nothing to offer, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? You understand, and I think that we understand this afternoon, that in this parable and in what we're being taught here from this teaching by Jesus is that we all had a debt that we were unable to pay. And it doesn't matter when you start comparing yourself with somebody else and say, well, you know, I don't think I'm as bad as that person. Doesn't matter. You still can't pay yours. Even if what you're saying is true. Even if the person down the street from you is a worse sinner than you, you still can't pay your debt. So what does it matter? It doesn't. But all people stand in need of forgiveness from the one that we owe. And thankfully, God is willing to forgive anybody who comes to him regardless. Now, both of them were frankly forgiven, as we read there in verse 42. And he asked this question, and remember, he's trying to get them to understand, tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And I think this is great too, because Simon the Pharisee, this self-righteous Pharisee, Jesus didn't just get frustrated and leave the house. He loves Simon. He's taking the time to teach him, to try to reach Simon. He's preaching the gospel here. Which one will love him more? In verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. It's almost like he didn't want to answer the question because he knew he'd, like, oh man, I guess if you're asking me, the one who's forgiven more. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You got it right. You got the answer right, Simon. Now he looks in verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. And just take a moment right there, because Jesus acknowledges something here. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, this has to be noted in the language that we're reading this, that can sometimes be confusing. But it's not saying that she's forgiven because she has loved me. For her great love, I'll now forgive her. Rather, she loves so great because she's been forgiven of so much. The cause of her love is the forgiveness that she received, not the other way around. So her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So when this woman first came into the house, and she begins to anoint Jesus' feet, and she begins to wipe his feet with her tears and her hair and all these things, and the Pharisee looks and in his own mind says, if this guy were really a prophet, he would know what type of woman this is. Well, he was wrong in that Jesus is a prophet. But his opinion, his perspective of who this woman was, he wasn't wrong. Because Jesus even confirms that. He says, this woman, though her sins are many. When she was accused of being a sinner, he wasn't wrong. When we look out into the world today and we look at our neighbors and our friends and our family and the people around us and we say, they are a bunch of sinners, that we're not wrong. So the problem wasn't that the Pharisee viewed her incorrectly. The problem was that he viewed himself incorrectly. See, we're right to look at the world and say the world is full of sinners as long as we understand that we're a part of that world too. See, the woman also, she knew who she was. She doesn't even argue. In fact, the reason that she loves Christ and Christ gives it to us is because she had been forgiven of so much. You didn't have to convince this woman that she was a sinner. She knew it. And that's why she loved Jesus so much. Because when she came to him, he didn't give her a list of things that she had to fix or do or this or that to attain righteousness. She was given forgiveness of her sins. And Jesus confirms, he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She had already been forgiven at this point. So the woman knew who she was, a woman who needed forgiveness. But the Pharisee knew who she was, but did not know who he was. A few months ago, I preached on a Wednesday night, it all runs together. But I preached up here about the publican and the Pharisee who were praying. And you remember how the Pharisee got up and he prayed and he said, I thank God that I'm not like this guy over here. But then the publican wouldn't even look up and smote his chest and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. See, the Pharisee was right to look at him and say he's a sinner. He was right. But he didn't see it in himself. Now, when we go out this afternoon and our community and our country and the world is full of people like this, listen, sometimes you're going to come across people who I think are like this woman. You don't have to do much convincing. They know. They are guilty before God and they understand that. And what they need to be is offered forgiveness. And they need to know that there is someone who died for their sins and loves them and is willing and ready to forgive them and to receive them and to bring them into their family. They need to hear that. Well, listen, there's also people that we meet that are going to be like this Pharisee who do not understand and do not acknowledge where they stand before God. And they also, listen, Jesus didn't just give up. Jesus is trying to reach him. He told him this parable. He's trying to get the Pharisee to understand that he also is a debtor who needs to be forgiven, regardless of the amount, regardless of whether or not he thought he had lived. Listen, for sure, if you just looked outwardly, the Pharisee had lived a more outwardly righteous life than this woman. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter. They both needed to be forgiven by God. So Jesus said, wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I'm going to tell you this afternoon that I think that the degree to which we love God is directly proportionate to how much we understand who we are. The degree to which we love God is going to be completely dependent upon what we know about ourselves. Because if I'm a pretty good guy, well, then why wouldn't God save me? Why wouldn't somebody want me in heaven for all of eternity? I mean, I'm a delight to be around. I'm pleasant, fun. I'm not that bad of a guy. I've never killed anybody. In fact, God would be, it would be good for him to have me around. You know, that's outrageous. But if we really have the attitude that Paul has, now I'm the chiefest of sinners. Like, the things that I know about me, and we all have this. Like, there are things that are hidden in all of our hearts and our past that we're ashamed of. And God knows those things. And yet he still loves us and still died for us. And so it would do us well to remember who we were without Christ and who we would be without Christ today. And so Jesus says her sins are forgiven. And the reason she loves me so much is because she understands what she has been forgiven. And we have got to try to get a grasp on that, of just how wicked we are and how sinful our hearts are. Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Now notice here at the end, you can kind of read over this if you're not careful, but I think it's really significant for us. So verse 48. So after he talks to Simon, he turns and look at verse 48. He said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Now this is interesting because in verse 47, he's talking to Simon and he says, "Her sins are forgiven." And so verse 48, this is not the moment that he forgives her sins. They had already been forgiven. That's what he says in verse 47. But he looks at her and he tells her, "Your sins are forgiven." Once again, I don't know that we can appreciate what this would have been like for this woman who was an outcast in society, who would have never been welcomed in this house. The type of woman when people walked by her would probably go out of their way to avoid being even in her sphere. People who didn't want to be around this woman would have wanted nothing to do with her. Everybody knew what type of woman she was. You notice that? This Pharisee, she walks in the house and he knows. I mean, she had a reputation. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus, who created the universe, who made everything, who holds everything in his hands, he looks at her and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, how is that relevant to us today? When we look in his word, I think that we need to be constantly looking into his word to be reminded that God himself is who has declared us forgiven. So Jesus, speaking about her, says her sins are forgiven, but he says directly to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And when you read the words of this book and you come across passages, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise that comes from God himself. And we can trust and we can know that if we confess our sins, just like Jesus looked at this woman, God will look at us and say, "You are forgiven." And that matters. And we have a world full of people who need to hear that. And we need to hear it. Even after we're saved. Listen, once you're born again, we understand that you are put in his hand, you are secure, you're given the seal of the Spirit, you're not going to lose your salvation. But we still need to go to God and repent and be forgiven. That was the whole, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, Brother Isaac just mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, was talking about that, and we see that Peter didn't need to be completely washed again, but his feet had gotten dirty. We still, every single day, need to be reminded that you are forgiven. And when the accuser of the brethren would go to God and say, "Do you have any idea what Ben thought or said or did?" You know what I can do is I can look into his word and I can say, "I have an advocate with the Father. I'm still forgiven." And it doesn't excuse my sin. It doesn't justify my sin. I should repent and ask for his forgiveness. But even in those moments, I'm still loved. I'm still forgiven. My state with God does not change. And that goes back to what we talked about this morning, him being faithful, not my own faithfulness. And so Jesus in verse 49 says, in verse 48, he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Anyone who's ever been saved has been saved because of their faith. It took faith for her to go in there and do this. I mean, there are a lot of places that she would have walked in and she'd have been kicked out. She walked in knowing who Jesus was, trusting who Jesus was, and worshiped him because of what he had done for her. So here's how it plays out for us today. And I think that in these stories, a lot of times we don't put ourselves in the right character. Too many times we read ourselves into the hero of the story. But the truth is that at times we are the Pharisee, but we are also the woman. All times. We need when Jesus says the one who has been forgiven the most is the one who's going to love the most, we should always consider, I should always see myself as I have been forgiven far more than anybody else. Because if my attitude ever gets to the place where someone else needs forgiveness more than me, there's no humility. I'm steeped with pride. And so when we read these types of parables and we read these contrasts of the Pharisees and the publicans, if we don't view ourselves as the sinner, as the publican, then we are the Pharisee in the story. And so we need to understand that we've all been forgiven a great debt that we couldn't pay. And certainly, I don't have to convince you this afternoon, we could not have paid the debt that we owed God. Here in a few moments, we're going to go knock some doors. And it seems like this is a reoccurring thing that I tell people here in our town, because people have this idea that that they're just going to kind of do some good to make up for what they've done. It just doesn't work that way. You cannot pay off the debt that you owe God. If you were to go commit a murder, you couldn't tell the judge, yeah, you know, I know that was bad, but if you'll let me go free, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to make up for it. It just doesn't work that way. We cannot pay off the debt. It's only through Christ. And faith that saved her is the faith that saves us. Amen? All right, I want you guys to stand with me. We're just going to have a word of prayer and close out our service this afternoon. I appreciate everyone's attention, your attendance. I want to remind you that we'll have men's Bible study tomorrow evening.